Okay, looks like we got the door closed, so we'll get started. First off, thanks everybody for coming to the session. I really appreciate your time. My name is Mike Flasco. I run the program management team for a new service that we announced at the event earlier in the week called Azure Data Factory. The goal of the session today is to kind of talk to you about what exactly Data Factory is, why we created it. We'll get a little bit hands-on with it. We'll create some pipelines, see data move, et cetera. But what I'm hoping to do is give you a good kind of breadth coverage of why we created it, what it is, and how you can get started. There's lots of depth content available online. I'll try and highlight some of it as we go so that after the session, if you want to, you can go create an account, dig in, and keep going. So as I mentioned, the agenda of the session will go first, why we created Data Factory, what are the use cases and problems it's trying to solve, what's available today in our public preview release, and then what's coming. We'll look at the product a little bit hands-on, and then finally we'll try and wrap up a few minutes early so that we leave enough time for questions at the end. But if you've got a burning question throughout the talk, feel free to just blurt it out. I'm happy to take questions whenever you want if something's unclear along the way. So with that, I like to start almost all of our Data Factory sessions with this particular slide and this particular quote. Two things that's notable about it. One is it's a quote that's 2 years old now. It's kind of an old quote. And so 2 years ago, they were talking about data warehousing and analytics changing or about to be changed. And now we're seeing kind of that shift actually happen. Not to say the warehouse is going anywhere, but now there's a lot more things available to the data developer and the analytics developer than there was just a little while ago. I remember coming to TechEd at this event and in North America over the last number of years, and you know, we talked a lot about relational systems for a while, and now you see the contents about NoSQL, SQL, you know, big data, cloud, on-prem, et cetera. So clearly there's a lot more in the toolbox for the data developer. But with that comes, you know, a set of new challenges for the data integrator. And so while there's a lot of new ways to store data, process data, and do it very efficiently and at scale and for low cost, when it comes along to how do you harness all of this data as you've got some in the cloud, on-prem, in NoSQL systems, SQL systems, et cetera, how do you harness it all to produce, you know, an analytic result that's richer than before because you've used more data, but still simple enough to actually get the job done and create it all and bring it all together to actually produce that enriched result? And so as we've seen the warehouse kind of grow up and be augmented by things like Hadoop and NoSQL, it really just adds to the set of things that we need to think about as we want to integrate them together and derive more rich analytics. And so this was kind of the original premise that got us thinking about Data Factory, going, you know, there's a lot of really mature tools out there in warehousing. There's a lot of new tools. How are people integrating this together to really harness all of this data? And, you know, can we help? Is there a challenge there? And so we've started to depict kind of our journey down this in a few slides. So bear with me for about a minute or two. I'll talk about how we got to where we are, and we'll quickly get hands-on with the product. And so this picture isn't meant to be news to anybody. This is, you know, the traditional picture we used to think about when it came to how did we get data into a data warehouse to drive analytics, right? You'd have a few sources, you know, of various shapes, sizes. It would run through some ETL tool, whether it's, you know, SQL Server Integration Services or Informatica or, you know, pick your favorite tool, and it would push into a warehouse. You know, there's very mature tools. They work quite well. There's very well understood patterns and practices for how to do this, right? Then this happened. We started to want to collect data from a bunch of new sources, of a bunch of new types, of a bunch of sizes. Sometimes we're leveraging the cloud to collect and process that data, sometimes on-prem. Sometimes we're using you know, a SaaS service like Salesforce or other to store and work with our data. And now the interesting questions become, now that I've got all of this rich data that I can collect and learn from to drive different business use cases, how do I actually do that? How do I work across all of these systems to leverage the best of breed systems that are available for storage, processing, and movement to create you know, kind of a holistic analytics pipeline, and then do it in a way that you can kind of rely on it, that you can bet on it, that it's not a cobbled together, you know, series of connection points that are very fragile, hard to debug, and hard to understand if something goes wrong, right? And so what we started to see was people were, to address this new need and type of data, we started to just see a different pattern evolve. People started to, instead of massaging every piece of data that they wanted to work with, that, you know, at the moment that they go and access that data, instead they started to get into this thing we call kind of the big data mindset, which is to say, you know, let's collect all the relevant data that I may want to use in the future, whether I have a use case for it or not. It's very cheap to store this data in new systems like Hadoop, you know, blob storage in the cloud, et cetera. And then I'll refine or transform that data on demand into whatever form I need, you know, as I go when I need it. And so these two patterns of kind of an ETL system for traditional warehousing, as well as an ingestion and then refine on demand, have started to pop up a lot. And over the last couple of years, as we've had more and more customers come and talk with us and we've gone on site with different people, we've seen that a lot of enterprises have a mixture of both, in that they're doing traditional, I'll call it traditional, ETL to a data warehouse for a set of things. It works very well. Then for, you know, big data, semi-structured data, et cetera, people are augmenting that with maybe a Hadoop setup, maybe they're doing it in the cloud. And they've got now a number of systems that are storing their data for different types and use cases. And the question becomes now, how do you work across all of this to drive rich analytics? If you look out in the literature out there, whether it's from analysts or, you know, some of it from us, some of it from competitors, sometimes people refer to this as a data lake or a data hub. Some, depending upon kind of your point of view, you might call the whole thing a lake. You might call this picture two different data lakes. It really doesn't matter. At the end of the day, the idea is, how do I work with all the data addressable to my enterprise so that I can derive richer insight, whether that be to understand how my factory floor is working, to better understand how my customers are using my product, to better understand their preferences, whatever it may be. And so what we're trying to do in, let me go back one, in Data Factory is take that picture we just looked at and generalize it and say, how do you work across SaaS services, cloud services, on-prem services in an efficient manner, in a way that you can, you know, bet on and feel that, you know, that these analytics pipelines are sound and, you know, are well monitored and all the kind of enterprise isms, if you will, that you know, you've come to rely on from kind of traditional data integration. And so what we did is we took that picture and we said, how can we generalize it? How can we provide a platform to help you compose existing data processing, data storage, and data movement capabilities into a complete analytics pipeline? And then how can we give you a level of monitoring and management over that pipeline so you can be certain that the pipeline is healthy? If any issue occurs, you know what happened. And so the way we generalized that picture is we basically came up with two terms. And I'll talk about the 2 to 4 terms that are key in Data Factory. Once you've kind of got those, you can become pretty efficient with the product. The first is the concept of a data hub. In our world, the data hub is just a collection of a storage system and a processing environment. To give you a concrete example, a data hub could be an Azure Blob Store account or accounts coupled with an HD Insight cluster. And so it's really just a co-location of compute and store that you've decided to give a name. And the idea is that you're trying to ingest or get data into your data hub so that you can process that data and then deliver it wherever it might be, to the data warehouse, to the data mart, to another data hub, et cetera. And then we've got this concept of data sources. They're exactly as they sound. These are just places that store data that are interesting to you, and you want to easily collect and ingest that data into your hub so that you can combine it, transform it, and produce interesting analytics results. The reason I say it so generally is that we'll talk about over time what we're aspiring to do with Data Factory, and I'll talk throughout the session about what kind of data hubs you can create today in the public preview and some of the things that we're aspiring to in the coming months through preview. And so the first thing is data sources, data hubs. Data hubs are places that store data and you can run processing. And then what you can create is these things called pipelines. And what pipelines are is they're just workflows that act on input data and produce some output data. And so when you're authoring things in Data Factory, what you're doing is creating pipelines. They're just workflows. If you're familiar with SSIS, they're just like data flows. And the idea is that pipelines take some named set of input data sets, and they produce some named set of output data sets. and the pipelines run on the compute environments provided in your data hub. So a concrete example would be you've got a bunch of log files, let's say, from your website. You've ingested them into Azure Blob Storage. You want to spin up a series of Hadoop processing, like Hive scripts, Pig scripts, et cetera, that act in some workflow to aggregate, clean, et cetera, that log data, and then ultimately copy the output of that Hadoop processing to your data mart to connect your BI tools to. That would be an example of some steps within a pipeline. That pipeline would run on the compute environment in a data hub. I promise we'll make this very concrete in a hurry. But just keep those terms in the back of your mind throughout the session. Data sources, data sets, data hubs, and pipelines. Those are basically the four main terms in the system. And what we want to be able to do in Data Factory is help you get a complete view of your analytics pipelines, whether that's ingesting data from places in Azure, reaching back on-prem to ingest data from your on-prem SQL Server, and then help you understand from origin to destination how your data traveled, how it was processed, where it was processed, when it was processed, and if any issue occurs, we want to make it very easy for you to be able to pinpoint along that chain where the issue was, quickly get at the log files so that you can, you know, debug, fix, and ultimately address the issue and bring the pipeline back up. And we'll talk about a set of features that we have to assist you in that. And so what you're looking at right now is just a screenshot of our portal experience we'll look at in just a second that gives you an idea of where we're headed with the product. And so at its heart, what Data Factory is doing for you is it's letting you orchestrate and schedule data pipelines that work across on-prem and cloud environments. And we'll talk about, again, where we are today and where we'll head with it. Here's one more screenshot of a little bit more involved pipeline. This is actually of an internal user of Data Factory today. And you can see how they've got a much richer data graph going on as data is integrated across their environment being processed. You can see a little bit of red color and a little bit of green color in the diagram view. What this is showing them is, hey, you've got an issue in this part of your pipeline. If you double click, you can zoom in and figure out what that issue is. So you can get kind of a complete, think of it as like a complete map of the data grid that you're operating effectively. And so if we were to put Data Factory on one slide, this would probably be the top level points I would pick to say it's a new service for data developers and DevOps or IT. The point is for you to compose data processing, storage, and movement into analytics pipelines. What we'll see today is that we're initially focused on data hubs that run and are made up of storage and compute services in Windows Azure. And we'll talk about how over time we're building it out such that you can create data hubs that reside on-prem, data hubs that reside in other locations as well, so that you can really have a complete, if you will, data grid being operated by your factory. And then lastly, the goal is always along the way to give you kind of a rich, simple monitoring and management experience so you can understand where your data is, where it went, how it was processed, and if it's being delivered on time and of the right shape. That way you can, you know, when you're going and driving analytics, putting data into a data mart, whatever it might be, you can know that, you know, this is where the data came from, this is, you know, this data is healthy, this can drive, you know, an analytics decision. And so let's kind of get a little more hands-on now with Data Factory and look at an example. One thing I'll note is we've actually been running the Data Factory service for a number of months now inside the company, both with internal users within Microsoft as well as early adopter users outside of the company. The scenario I've picked here is a generalized version or simplified version for the demo of a set of scenarios that are running by some interactive entertainment companies on the west coast of Seattle. They do online games and things like that. And what they're trying to do is get a complete understanding of their customer. Their customer in this case is somebody using their games. You can apply this to retail and somebody using your website, etc. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to say, hey, as somebody, you know, plays this game or interacts with our product, if you will, they want to log everything that's happening, what the user's doing, how much time they spend there, to get a better idea of what their user preferences are, what the, you know, that individual user likes, so that they can get kind of a 360-degree view of the customer based on their actions, not just their words, on what they like or don't like. That's going to allow them to do interesting things like targeted marketing campaigns, upsell across products, you know, some cross-business deals where they can say, hey, we have a customer that we know likes this kind of thing, that kind of stuff they want to drive with this. So their problem looks something like this. They have terabytes of data per day coming into blob storage in the form of game logs. Who did what in the game, in what level, with who, you get the idea. And then they've got a set of authoritative data on their on-premise data warehouse that happens to be a SQL Server. And what they want to do is be able to mash up and combine in interesting ways this game data with their authoritative data on-prem to be able to say, hey, you know, Mike Flasco likes to do X and Y. He prefers to play at these type of, you know, at this time of day, you know, this style of game, et cetera, so they can get a complete understanding. So they want to be able to produce reports and an insight that's have things like this, which is, what was all of the new user activity per week by region, and did those users exhibit certain characteristics? And so the goal is to be able to bring together on-prem data with cloud and unstructured data and do that on a regular basis so that every time they come in the morning, they see these reports and dashboards about how they're trending so that as they start running different online campaigns, et cetera, they can see if it's having an impact or not. And so let me go forward. So the first thing they want to do is go and create a data factory. And so I'm going to switch over to the demo machine now, and we'll go and start to create this scenario inside of a data factory. So hopefully the connection stays for us. All right, did it come up? Perfect. Okay, so what we're looking at is the new preview portal in Windows Azure. So this is the latest and greatest Windows Azure portal. Data factory is integrated into that. And so if I come down to the new button here and I say everything, if I go to the data and analytics section, I can see data factory as an option. I click data factory, it gives me a little description about what it is. If I click create, I can now go and create my factory. So I'll say M Flasco TEE demo to be our TechEd Europe demo. I'll select a resource group that I've pre-created. It's inside my subscription. We're going to create this factory in the West US region. The thing to note here is that where you're creating your factory is just where we orchestrate things from, where we monitor things from. It has nothing to do with where your data needs to reside, where your processing needs to happen, et cetera. Think of the data factory as kind of your virtual factory. It's something that's orchestrating these resources, monitoring them for you, et cetera. It doesn't mean data has to come into this place, and we'll see how this works in just a second. So our new factory is being created. Should come up in a second. All right, let's switch over while we wait on that. All right, so we've got a factory that we just created. What I tried to do is show you beside the PowerShell script that you could run to script everything that I'm doing in the UI. So you'll notice everything that's in the UI can be done programmatically either through PowerShell or our .NET libraries. The next thing you want to do when you're creating a factory is start to add data sources. This starts to form the foundation of your data hub. So what are the data sources that this factory is going to work with? What are the compute environments that are going to be used in that factory? And so in this particular case, I'm linking a few storage accounts. So it looks like my factory has been created. So let me switch back over and show you what that looks like. So in the factory, I go to linked services. I can go add a set of data stores that's linked to this factory. I can name the data source, I can pick one. Today, what we support is any type of Azure storage, so Azure tables, Azure blobs, et cetera, Azure DB, as well as what is said here is SQL Server, but what this means is SQL Server on-prem behind the firewall, and I'll explain how that works later in the session. It also means SQL Server running on IaaS, if you'd like. And you'll see this set of sources grow over time in the coming months as we work through preview. And so I can link any number of these to my factory. I won't do it through the UI because I'll show you how to do this programmatically in just a second. And then once I link the sources to the factory, my job is to start building pipelines. So let's switch over and I'll show you what this looks like. All right. So at this point, we basically have, you can think of it as like a blank factory. I'm going to go link these stores to the factory in just a second. I'll show you how to do it programmatically. But thinking back to our use case, there was user information in an on-prem SQL server, and there was a bunch of log files that represented game usage in Azure Blob Store. And we wanted to combine that data together. The first thing you do when you start authoring in Data Factory is you define the data sets that you're going to work with. And so just if you're familiar with Hadoop, how Hadoop you're able to define the data sets you're working with, it's a schema on read situation, so you're asserting the data that exists in various places. That's pretty much how Data Factory works. It just applies this construct across all data types, whether it's SQL Server, Azure Blob Store, et cetera. And so you first go and define these data sets. This is just metadata. It's an assertion that there's some data over there. It has this schema. It can be accessed at this location. You can think of it from a data integration perspective as kind of like data contracts, so that producers and consumers of data can agree on, you know, what's coming from who's producing what and who's consuming what. And so I go and I assert that I've got these two data sets, new users in on-prem SQL, game usage and is in Azure Blob Store, and in fact game usage is a single table that's made up of many, it's actually backed by, you know, a bunch of log files that's partitioned in Blob Store. And then lastly, my new user activity, this is the point. This is what we're trying to get to, right? Is the end result is produce this this rich data set called new user activity that's combined all of this data together that I can use to drive analytics. And so the first thing we're going to go do is define those data sets, and then we'll start building up pipelines from there. The next step in adding a pipeline is to say, hey, there's an input data set. I go define a pipeline and an activity within the pipeline and what output data set is produced. So this example pipeline says there's an input data set called new users. It's coming from on-prem SQL Server. It's going through a pipeline that has a single activity. This blue box is an activity. An activity in Data Factory is just any processing step. It could copy data, it could run a Hive script, it could run custom code, etc. In this case, it's just copying. What it's doing is it's taking that list of customers, moving it up into the cloud, into Blob Storage, and calling it cloud new users is the output of it. The next step in this workflow that our customer was doing was to say, look, this log file's come in, but the log files just have IP addresses in them. And I don't want IP addresses when I go to do analytics or, you know, BI. I want actual location. So in this particular case, they have like a geodictionary, which is actually a mapping of IP addresses to location. It's about a terabyte big. And what they do is they take their 10 terabytes worth of logs, they join that with their terabyte geodictionary to resolve IP address to location. So as data, as these logs come in, they geocode them to figure out the actual location that the user was playing from. And then they also do some masking of the logs because they don't want to hold the IP address in the log forever. They consider it PII, and so they actually do some masking. They drop the last octet of all the IP addresses in the log so that they can kind of scrub the logs to the point they're willing to share with other users. And so they've got a pipeline that basically does log masking and log geocoding. And then finally, they've got a pipeline that has a single activity that's running a join and aggregate step, which is basically joining these two things together and then doing some aggregates and calculating some aggregates to ultimately generate this new user activity. And so they've got three pipelines. Each pipeline has a single activity depicted by the blue box. And it's kind of working across all the way from data on-prem through data in the cloud to ultimately produce this result back in Blob Storage. And so what I'm going to do is walk you through what it looks like to create this particular pipeline. It takes a while to kind of get all of this up, so we'll walk through this pipeline that's outlined in green. I'll show you what it takes to build this pipeline, and we'll build it through the rest of the session. So the first thing we want to do is go and define our data sets. I'll show you what a data set definition looks like for the geocoded game usage, basically the output of the pipeline. And so this is what a definition of a data set looks like in Data Factory. It's got a few key sections. The first is structure. What it's basically asserting is that the data is going to have this schema. It talks about where the location of the data is. Think of this like a pointer to the data. It's saying in this case it's in Blob Storage. I'll talk about what the blob path is and why it's parameterized the way it is in a second. And the linked service name is just the, you can think of this as the binding to the actual storage account, so that you can have developers creating pipeline definitions that don't necessarily have access to the credentials of the Blob Store account that's stored in the in the linked service definition itself. Lots of developers can be saying, oh, okay, I can just reference that blob store account by name. Somebody else set up the linked services. And then finally, availability is an interesting thing. What it's saying here is that this particular data set is going to be generated daily. Or in this particular case, it's going to be appended to daily. So it's like, in this case, it's a table that keeps growing with each day's information. And so what's happening is log files are getting ingested, going through this activity, and each day's worth of scrubbed files get added into this table. And so that's what a definition of a data set looks like. If I wanted to have a data set that was backed by SQL Server, the only thing that changes is the location section. Everything else remains the same. Now, let's look at what the definition of a pipeline looks like. I actually included two activities in this pipeline instead of one, like the picture shows, just to kind of spice it up a bit. But in this particular definition, what it's saying is there's two activities. The first one is named enrich logs. It's taking two data sets as input, raw game usage and the geocode dictionary. And it's going to run a pig script on those inputs to produce those this one table output that's masked in scrubbed logs. And then I added a second activity in there just to show you what copying data looks like. You just say the source, the destination, transformation type is copy, and that's about it. I've left out the actual pig script itself. We'll look at it in a second. But this is what it looks like to define an activity. So the interesting thing is that in Data Factory, data sets and pipelines and activities are just declarative documents. They're just JSON files that you can construct that point at the various activities you want to run, whether it's a pig script, a hive script, you know, custom code, you want us to run a copy activity, etc. So you can compose these steps together into pipelines, and then you can also have pipelines depend on pipelines. So you can create quite an elaborate, if you will, graph of data production in your system. And so let me flip over now and show you these files and how to actually deploy them to the factory that we created just a second ago. Great, we're up. Okay. So what we're looking at right now is the kind of, if you will, the home screen of the data factory that we just created. It's called mFlasco TE Demo. And you can see it's empty. It's got no data sets in it, no pipelines, not linked to any storage accounts or compute environments at all. And so the first thing we need to go do is start linking it to those storage accounts and then start deploying pipelines and data sets. And so let me show you what it looks like to link stores to this factory. And so what I'm going to do is use PowerShell to do this. And what this allows you to do is basically author those JSON documents that define your data sets and your pipelines and then deploy them to the factory just like you would like run a SQL statement against a database. You basically run these statements against the data factory to deploy these artifacts. Let me show you how this works. So if we were to create a data factory, we'd run this line, but we already did that through the UX, so I'll skip it. And we'll start working our way down. The next thing we want to do is upload a linked service definition. And this is just linking the data factory to a storage account. And then what it's doing in the second line right here is it's going to link the data factory to a Hadoop cluster. In this particular case, an HD Insight cluster. We support two modes of working with HD Insight today. Oh, there's the first one has just succeeded. We'll wait for the second. We support two modes of HD Insight today. One is you can go create an HD Insight cluster, stand it up, have it running, and then point the data factory at that. Or you can say, I would just like the data factory to use Hadoop or HD Insight on my behalf, and I'll create a pipeline full of Hive and Pig, and data factory, you take care of all the cluster management. You go procure a cluster for me when you need one. You run the scripts when you need to run them. You take the cluster down when you don't need it anymore. So you can create these pipelines full of Hive and Pig and various Hadoop activities without having to worry about cluster management at all. You can just schedule those activities to run, tell us what size cluster you want it to run on. We'll take care of bringing it up, bringing it down, retries, all of that kind of stuff. And so you can run in either mode. And so now I've got the storage account and the HD Insight cluster linked. Let me just show you what the definition of linking to the HD Insight cluster looked like, so you can get a sense. So I'll go to my linked service definitions. I'll pick up the HD Insight one. And let's zoom in a bit. This is what it took for me to link my data factory to an on-demand HD Insight cluster. This is basically a definition of a cluster that the factory will create on your behalf to run your pipelines. It's basically saying, you know, use a cluster that only has one node. So for demos, you know, it's really nice and small. But you can make it as large as you want, as HD Insight allows. It's telling you where to put log files. And it's got a bunch of configuration in terms of what version of HD Insight, how long you want the cluster to live after a job. There's a bunch of kind of knobs you can use here. And it's also saying what storage account, when we bring up this cluster, it should be linked to. You could have multiple storage accounts if you'd like. So now we've now deployed those two things to the factory. And now what we're going to do is those table definitions that we want, that we had, those data set definitions, we're going to go and deploy those. And so let me start that, and then I'll show you them in full. So let me jump up here, data sets, and let's look again at, we'll look at the geocode game usage data set. And again, this is the definition. This is the JSON file we looked at in PowerPoint that's being deployed right now to the factory. It's saying we're going to be producing something with this structure. It's going to be linked up to this blob store account. It's a set of comma delimited files. And this particular data set is going to be partitioned daily. So each day has got a new partition created in the data set. Like that. Come back. And so now what we've got is three tables published to the data factory. You might notice I keep switching words a little bit between table and data set. There's actually a hierarchy in the system, which is a piece of data by name is a data set. A piece of data by name where you've asserted rectangular schema is a table. And what that's doing is setting us up so that over time we can work with data structures that aren't tables. So as you think about document databases, et cetera, you might want to say, actually, there's a derived type from data set called document. And you can work more natively with that. We don't integrate with those today, but you can see kind of how we're planning for that down the line. And so what I've got is three data sets that have been uploaded. Right now, there's just definitions up in the factory. So let's flip back over to the portal and see what we've got. You can see now it's saying there's three data sets that have been defined, but there's no pipeline, so no processing is happening. You've just got three assertions about data that you're going to work with, either to consume or to create. And so now let's go and finish the job by uploading that pipeline definition that points at our pig script and actually kick it off. So let me first jump back over here. And we'll start the deployment, and then we'll look at the file. So we'll start this guy. And now let's go back and look at the pipeline. This one. And here's our completed pipeline definition in all its options. And so what we've got here is the name of the pipeline, the activities within the pipeline. Again, activities are just the processing steps in a pipeline. In this particular case, I've got one activity that is a pig script. And what I'm saying is that these are the two data sets that the pig script takes as input. This is the data set the pig script generates as output. And the nice thing about this, when you think about it relative to kind of traditional data integration, is these sense of data contracts were never quite first class, where you were asserting what's coming in and what's coming out. And what would happen is it made these kind of traditional ETL projects very hard to debug. Because you never knew if the guy producing the data or the guy consuming the data was at fault when issues occur. But now when you say, hey, there's a contract between each activity, and this activity has to produce this, this activity is going to consume this, especially as you start to work among developers, among storage systems, it gives you a nice way to quickly kind of handshake between developers, between storage systems, as you move data from on-prem to cloud, and really kind of keep control, if you will, over your data system as it grows up and changes with time. And so I'll show you some neat things we can do with data lineage and debugging and monitoring with this level of kind of control in the system without kind of slowing down development, because this is all assertion, right? You don't have to go change anything about storage formats, et cetera. This is just assertion. And so here's the pig script. What these things are, log input, map input, log output, These are specific to the pig script itself. I wrote the pig script. I wanted to parameterize it with three inputs. This is just parameterization that I as the developer of the pig script needed. So I'm having some runtime variables effectively passed to the script. And what I'm doing is giving various locations I want to use in the pig script. Here's where the pig script actually resides. In this case, I've got my scripts uploaded to Blobstore. So it'll pull the script from Blobstore at runtime and grab it and execute. And then lastly, what I'm saying is, here's the policy for this data set. There's a few interesting things that we can do, especially with the execution environments in Azure, is that first is concurrency. For those who have done data integration projects in the past, sometimes your pipeline will be running along as data comes in, the pipeline processes it, et cetera. There's other situations where you've collected data for the last month. You didn't know what you were going to do with it, but eventually some new need came up, some new question came up in the business that said, hey, what about X? And you really wish you could go back a month ago and start the calculation from then so you can see the trend all the way till now about that question. And so what Data Factory lets you do is you can start pipelines from now, from the past, and as far back in the past as you want. And if you're starting in the past, oftentimes that data is already available in your storage system. You don't have to wait for it to come in. And so with concurrency value, what we ask you is basically how many slices or partitions do you want us to create in parallel? So if all the data for the last month is resident there, and we have a pipeline that creates a partition per table at a time, we'll ask you, look, if all the data is there, do you want me to parallelize this sucker and do them all at once instead of waiting each day to process something like you would when data comes in? And the interesting thing, because you can bind these things to Hadoop clusters and scale up or down the cluster as you want, if you go and do kind of a run into the past and you want to chunk through a lot of data in a hurry, you can bind this pipeline just to a larger cluster for that run and say, actually run this thing on 60 nodes instead of 10, so that you can parallelize all that work and get it done quite quickly. So you've got a lot of control over kind of the concurrency of how many things we do at once on your behalf. There's a lot of knobs you can use here in terms of timeouts, retries, et cetera. All the things that you would have to take care of in a traditional data integration project or custom code, think about whenever you write against any cloud service, any system, right? Things time out. They need to be retried, et cetera. In this particular case, you just give us a bunch of policy. How many times do you want us to retry it? What's the timeout policy, et cetera? And so all of these things just happen for you as part of the plumbing that's available in Data Factory. You don't have to think about it and put that into your integration code. That's just policy you can apply, and then we'll run your script as many times as needed based on what you've told us to do. All right, so let me jump back. That should be deployed now. And the last thing we want to do, we've got the pipeline set up. We actually want to schedule it. And so scheduling it here says, this is when I want the pipeline to start and when I want it to finish. A lot of pipelines that we see run start at some time and just never stop. In this particular case, what I've done is I've actually said start as if it was May 1st earlier in the year. And so let's assume I've been ingesting log files since that time, and I just now decided I wanted to slice them in a different way than I've been doing. And I'd like trending all the way back to when I started collecting this data. In this case, I'm starting the pipeline as if it was May 1st earlier in the year, and I'm telling the system to just get at it and catch up all the way till now until we have to wait for the data to become available to keep running. And so let me start the pipeline. It says, are you really sure? Yeah, pretty sure. It'll take a second here. And what's happening under the covers right now on your behalf is we can see the pipeline's been deployed. It's going to start to work. Let me open the diagram view now to see what this thing is looking like. And you can see we've got one output data set, two input data sets, one pipeline in the middle. And you can customize this sucker however you want. And as you start to add more, it'll add more. The green lines on the top of the data sets are telling you everything's healthy, everything's fine. You don't have to touch anything. It's working as you'd expect. If they turn red, that means one of these things aren't being produced as you specified in the data set definitions. And so let me drill in on the output data set here. And I've got basically three partitions in the output table can be generated concurrently right now because I had that data sitting and available. The system's smart enough to figure out what data is sitting there and what data it has to wait for. I'll talk about the rich dependency management in just a second. And so what we see right here in the bottom corner is that we've got three partitions that we can go generate, and they're in what's called pending execution state. What that means is that it's waiting, the data factory is waiting to be able to kick off that processing or that pig script. The reason it's waiting right now is because it's actually going and getting a Hadoop cluster for me of that one node size that we looked at earlier. And so what I had done is bound that on-demand definition to data factory. And so when I kicked it off, it went and got a Hadoop cluster of that size, waited until the cluster was set up and bound, and then started that work on my behalf. And now we can see one of them has changed to in progress right here as I was talking. So apparently I just need to talk longer and this will keep going. And so that will go from in progress to ready once that particular partition is done and all the way through. Excuse me. So this is going to take a few minutes to run. It's chunking over a decent amount of data right now. So let me switch back to the slides, and then we'll come back and look at what happened. Hopefully this thing runs through successfully. All right, so we defined the pipelines. We deployed the pipelines for that log masking and enrichment pipeline. And now I wanted to kind of show you and talk about one of the kind of more depth features available in Data Factory, just as a way to give you a tour of the factory, what's available, what you can do with it, some of its power. And so it's a bit of an aside from the walkthrough as we wait for the Hadoop pipeline to finish for us. One thing that is kind of interesting in the way that Data Factory works is that as you define these data sets, basically we have this concept of slices or partitions. A slice is a logical time-based partition of a data set. So think back to our scenario where we had log files coming in. Maybe they come in every hour. So somebody's playing the game from 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock. And we've got a bunch of logs that are time-stamped from 12 to 1. And then every hour, what we want the pipeline to do is take the logs relevant from 12 to 1, run this pig script on it, and generate the output into the game usage table for the partition of 12 to 1. And you know, maybe it's the mask data, some aggregated data, et cetera. And so what Data Factory does is that it's got a strong understanding of the execution of a given activity and the data that it produced. But not just the table that it wrote to, the actual partition within that table that it wrote to. And so what it ends up keeping is a fairly rich dependency graph between the steps in a pipeline and the data being produced. So that it's kind of like, for those that you know are developers, it's kind of like when you go to compile code, an incremental build system versus a complete build system. Data Factory is smart enough to know that a given run of an activity produced a given partition in a table, so that any time you want to rerun an activity, or you found a bug in a script and you want to rerun it for a partition of time, you can just rerun and cause the partitions that you want to redo, the partitions that need to be rerun, you can cause those partitions to be rerun instead of recalculating the entire table. I'll look at a concrete example in just a second. So what it lets you do is really be fine-grained about the way you produce data and the way that you kind of fix up or restate data. And so, as I mentioned, the way the system works is there's activities within a pipeline. Activities, the output of an activity is a data set or a table. Each time you run an activity, like let's say you run it every hour, we call it an activity run, and that produces a partition in the output table. So actually it looks something like this. You might have a Hive script, we run it every hour. Every run is generating this output partition in the table. And so what we have a strong binding of every run of each script, what it output. So that if you ever want to go back in time and say, oops, I had a bug in my script, and we've been generating some bad data, and I think that bug started Monday last week, and you know, if I look at the data, it looks off for you know these 3 days until we had deployed another change that happened to fix that bug, but you've got that bad data, and so your trends are all off in your reports. If you want to go back in time and say, recalculate just that period of time, and rerun my Hive script, and just regenerate those partitions for that period of time, you can do that pretty simply, actually, with Data Factory, as compared to saying, look, this table's now got bad data in it. I need to rerun everything that's been producing data into that table. Which, if that happens to be a big data table, if it happens to be a large table, can take quite an amount of time. And so one of the things we found with our early adopters is they've got some pretty big tables in the, you know, hundreds of gigabyte type range up into terabyte type range. And before, what they were doing is having to rerun everything that generated that table if they had an error. Now what they can do is selectively rerun just for the time of error, which allows them to, one, spend less money to, you know, regenerate that, and two, do it a lot faster. So if you want to see how this works, here's an example based on kind of the scenario we were talking about. Here I've got three data sets and one activity. The activity, the Hive script in the middle, is taking those two data sets, the game usage and the geocode dictionary, as inputs, and producing one output called geocoded game usage. And if you notice, one of the tables, game usage, is being produced every hour. Two of them are trying to produce data and aggregate data every day. And so what you've got is some hourly production and some daily production. The system is actually smart enough to know, hey, whatever is producing the game usage data hourly, I have to wait for 24 of those runs before I can let this Hive activity go. Because this Hive activity is trying to aggregate data for all of Monday. And one of the inputs was hourly. So I have to know 24 of those have to run before that data is available for the next to run. And so it actually allows you to create some pretty powerful graphs and interconnected pipelines, even though they might be running on different clocks, if you will. And the system's smart enough to reconcile those and say, oh, I have to wait for 24 runs over here before I can let this one go and carry on from there. And so what we've seen is that as people have adopted the system and started producing various data sets and pipelines, they produce some output data, and then they use it, and that output data often gets reused in all kinds of use cases that they didn't imagine, but somebody consumes it, you know, on a different aggregation cycle, and so they can bind these two things together without having to worry too much about how dependencies are managed. The system kind of manages that on your behalf. We've got a lot of documentation about how this works. I know it's kind of a depth concept, but it's really powerful when you come to data sharing and you come to restatement. I wanted to just kind of whet your appetite, if you will, for this concept, and then as you dig in, you'll start to see what you can do with it. And so the typical scenario, as I mentioned, is you run some data production, you have a failure at some point in time. Like any good data production system, a failure upstream starts cascading down until you know what happened and you can fix the upstream data. What the system allows you to do is actually apply a fix and rerun just for the partition that was affected. So here we're rerunning just for the partition that's affected, and then cascade that back down and have the subsequent activities rerun so that everything else can turn green. And so one of the nice things of Data Factory is it lets you really recover from failure quite gracefully and efficiently. So with that, let's move over to monitor and manage. Once you've got these pipelines up and you start building out your data networks, an interesting challenge ends up becoming, how do you monitor this data? How do you know that when, you know, some data you're pulling from on-prem isn't available in the way you expected, and start to debug? And so we'll talk a little bit about what Data Factory has for that. Let's do a quick switch over and see if our last pipeline we deployed is done. So if I go here now, you can see all three partitions for the pipeline that's been running are now done. They're in the ready state, which basically means Hadoop scripts have finished. We've taken the cluster down. You're not paying for it anymore. And that data is available in Blobstore for you to go pick up. So if I go look at Blobstore, I've already got it open to that folder. Here's one of the output files that got generated. If I open it up and look at the output log file for one of the partitions, you can see now we've got geographic information that's been faulted in the place of IP address. You can see for the IP address areas, the last octet is now missing, so it's been masked out so that, you know, it's not as identifiable as before. And so this masking and data cleaning has happened, as well as geocoding on your behalf. And now you can take this data set that's well-defined in the system, and anybody else can bind that as input to their pipeline and carry on and use it as, you know, the raw material to their part. And so we've got this running. Now let me flip over to show you a little bit more about monitoring and managing. So instead of showing you the PowerPoint, let me just open up a different Data Factory for you and show you a little bit more involved of a factory and what monitoring and management looks like. So let's close this guy. And go to our start board and pick up this one right here. And so I'm picking up a different factory that I've created earlier. It's a little more involved than the prior one. Not too much, but got a little bit more going on. You can see there's kind of a longer chain going on of data production, kind of carrying over all the way through to being delivered. What this particular pipeline is doing is this is actually the complete pipeline of what I showed in the slide earlier. That has all three pipelines running, all the data interconnected. This one's actually reaching back to an on-prem SQL server to get the user data and is running. And you can see it's green across the board, which basically means everything's running as you might expect. As you drill in and double-click one of the data sets, you can quickly assess, is the thing still running? Are all the partitions being generated correctly? If one isn't, you'll see a little red X here. You can double-click the red X and quickly get down to the log files for the particular run of that script. So in this case, you can see we ran, we succeeded. And one of the nice things that we do, especially if you're building a Hadoop pipeline, is that as it's running, if any step ever fails, a pig script, hive script, custom code, et cetera, it'll go red, you can double click, and we'll give you links right in the browser to download the log file from that activity for that particular partition that failed. And so if you've got a fairly involved pipeline, at a glance you can see where it failed, get the log files, quickly get the information you need, correct it, redeploy, and then say regenerate this partition and kind of get the pipeline back on its feet. Show you that was a little bit more involved with the pipeline. Now let me switch back over. So it gives you a quick sense of some of the monitoring and management features available in Data Factory. The things we're trying to do with our UI is make it easy for you to quickly see how data flows, where it resides, how processing exists. You're going to see an alerting feature come up over the coming months where you can assign alerts to any stage of a pipeline to say, tell me when an activity ran successfully, tell me when it failed, tell me when it took too long. So you can say, hey, I'm willing to have this activity run, every day at midnight, and it should take no more than 2 hours to run. If it takes more than 2 hours to run, I want to know. And so, because sometimes you kind of have this concept of a data SLA. It needs to be produced within a window. You want to know when things are running out of that window. So you have some rich ability to kind of, within the graph, within context, set alerts. And then, as I mentioned, you can quickly get down to the log files that are available. So you'll see us, over time, invest more and more and more into that diagram view so that you'll get a richer and richer sense of lineage, monitoring, management features over time. I'd be very curious to hear from everybody as you dig in with the product, what else you'd like to see in that view. As we go through public preview, you'll see us spend a lot of time kind of enhancing that, adding more features as we go. So again, there's a few examples. Now, let me talk to you about a few more features or things you can do within a pipeline today. As I mentioned, you can easily run Hadoop work, so Hive, Pig, MapReduce, Mahout, all the animals in the Hadoop family. But you can also run custom code if you'd like. And so if you want to say, oh, actually a step in the pipeline after the data is produced by Hive, I want to run this C# function. And I've written it, and it does some great data cleaning or whatever it does. What you can do is you can write these C# functions that work on the data, and what we'll do is we'll pick it up, we'll plop it down onto a node of the cluster, we'll run that function, check if it succeeded, if it did, carry on the rest of the pipeline. So it's easier for you to bind in your custom code with your Hadoop processing, with your data movement. The last thing that I haven't really highlighted, but I'll show you in just a second, is that moving data among stores is really simple with Data Factory. So what you can do is you can point at and define a data set that exists in any one of the supported stores. You can say, hey, I've got this table in on-prem SQL Server, and I want to get it up to Blob Storage. What you do is you just specify the tables, the source and destination, say copy, set a schedule, and we take care of the rest. We take care of retries, moving it on the schedule, et cetera. So moving data around on-prem SQL to Blob Storage, to and from table storage, to and from SQL Azure, it's actually quite simple with Data Factory. It's about specifying the inputs and outputs, setting a schedule, and letting us take care of the lifting. The next thing is that these activities and the locations of these stores can be anywhere in any region in Azure. So we see a lot of interesting scenarios where people are doing various data collection in different geolocations in Azure, and they set up pipelines to scrub the data in the geolocation, do some analytics, take the result, and maybe move it to some central location for kind of global analytics. It's actually how some of our Skype pipelines and whatnot work. And so the one key thing about Data Factory is that while the factory you've deployed into one region, it can orchestrate, move data, transform data into any of the Azure regions. The HD Insight cluster, the Blob Store account, et cetera, can be in whatever region you'd like. And you can have the pipelines work across them how you see fit. Last thing here, as I mentioned, you can add custom code. We've got an SDK to help you add custom code as an activity into your pipeline. It's available as a NuGet pack, so you just open up VS, install the NuGet pack, and you can get going. We've got a bunch of samples to help you kind of get started if you want to extend the system with custom activities. We've already seen some of our early adopters extending the system to add new data sources for copy. We've seen people extend the system to invoke or run different activities. I think in the foundational session of this conference, you saw a demo that was pulling from Twitter, calling an Azure ML service as part of a pipeline. Both of those things were done as custom activities. Both of those custom activities are available as samples in our GitHub repo, where we keep kind of all the samples for Data Factory. So I'll show you in the resources after what GitHub repository to go to. You can pull a bunch of rich samples from there. You can also contribute back to the sample. So if you see a bug, you can just fix it. We have a way to easily kind of contribute in into those samples as people kind of start to dig in. For the sake of time, what I'm going to do is I'll skip over this particular example. I think it was available in the foundational session where you saw using a custom activity to pull from Twitter, invoke a Azure machine learning model, include that with Hive processing. We also have this full example available in the GitHub repository. If it's not there now, it will be in the coming days. And so lastly, let me do one more thing to the existing pipeline we just deployed and show you kind of how easy it is to copy data on a schedule and include data movement as part of your pipelines. So let's switch over back to our portal. We're up. And what I've got here is a few more definitions. Here is, actually, let me come down. Sorry, it's right here. Here is another linked service. In this case, I'm going to link the factory now to an Azure DB account that I've created. I'm going to create a table that is in the destination that I want to copy to. I'm going to define another pipeline that's actually just going to have one activity in it that's going to copy. It's going to take the output of that pig script that we had running earlier, and it's going to copy it as the data becomes available into my table in SQL Azure. I'm just going to set the schedule and then say go. So let me deploy these now. So here goes the linked service. This will take a second. I need to dance or something while this goes. And we'll do the table definition. These things take about a second or two each, most of the time. There goes. And here's the pipeline definition. I'm not going to show you the definitions because we saw similar ones earlier. And lastly, let's schedule the pipeline. Almost there. Here we go. And schedule this one. Yes, we want it to run. Okay, great. Now let's come back to the factory. You can see we've got more pipelines. We've got, wrong factory. Let's go to the one we were, our tech ed demo factory. Now we've got two pipelines instead of one. We've got four data sets instead of three. We just added those in. Let's look at the diagram now. It should be a little more involved. So we were up to this point before. What I just did is I linked this pipeline to the output of the prior one, and it's going to put the data into this output. And if you look, if we zoom in a bit, what's happening is you can see we're taking data from Blob Storage and moving it to Azure SQL DB. And so for all of the partitions that are available, they're being moved right now. For all the partitions that will be generated, it'll wait until they're available for movement. And so let me drill into this one now and see how we're doing. If we've started, okay, great. So And what's happened is it started. So we've got one of them that's being copied into the database right now, and a few of them that are pending execution. In this particular case, I had configured it just to go serially, do one at a time. So, as soon as I take it away, one says ready. And so let's go check the database and see if we've moved that data. Remember, I showed you that comma delimited log file before that was the output of the pipeline. Now we took that and we brought it into SQL Azure so we can connect it with our BI toolchain. And so let me go to Management Studio. I might have to connect again and run this query. Here's my target table that things are going to. And here's the data now in SQL Azure. And so now you can kind of see how you can marry on-prem data with cloud data, with Hadoop processing, with custom code, with invoking machine learning models, all on a schedule, all in a way that you can kind of completely see how data is moving and being processed, and then ultimately deliver the data into a data mart to drive analytics. Today, as I mentioned, that data mart could be SQL Azure, it could be SQL Server back on-prem. The way that we coordinate, I haven't mentioned this yet, but the way that we coordinate and push and pull data from a SQL Server on-prem is that we go through what we call a data management gateway. That data management gateway, you basically install on-prem, and then the service coordinates with that gateway. The gateway is the thing that authenticates with your on-prem SQL Server, so that's the thing that you set up a trust relationship between the on-prem gateway and your SQL Server. That gateway then does the reading and writing to and from your cloud sources. And so that you can bind that into kind of an overall pipeline. The way to install the gateway is actually quite simple. It's available as part of a wizard right within the Azure portal. And so where I showed you before to go and add linked services, if I had selected SQL Server, it'll tell you, you need to bind me to a gateway, and it'll give you a link to download the gateway, a piece of software, and you can run it either right on demand as a click once application, or you can download it and go and install it offline if you'd like. So it's pretty easy to set up a relationship between the data factory and your on-prem sources. Over time, you'll see us add more and more on-prem sources, whether you've got SQL Server or some other data source. You'll see those kind of come in and be supported over time, so you can move data around quite easily. So there's my output data. Perfect. Now let me switch back to PowerPoint. Last piece, so I just talked about moving data into data marts. The last bit I thought I'd talk about is, is pricing. What does it cost to use one of these things? It's a new service. The pricing information is actually up online on windowsazure.com, but I thought I'd talk you through it a little bit so you can understand how this thing is bought, how pricing works, etc. One of the nice things that I like about the pricing of Data Factory, and I might be biased on this, but is that the moment you construct a pipeline, you can definitively tell the cost of Data Factory at that time. It's not like you have to run for a while and figure out what the cost is going to be. From the pipeline definition, I can tell you what the cost of Data Factory is. It's very static that way, so you know up front. And so the way it works is that because Data Factory is coordinating and orchestrating a set of existing resources, like in our demo, we saw what we were doing was using a Hadoop cluster to process some data, and then we were running a copy activity to move data. That copy activity just runs on a VM. It's some software we have that runs on a VM. And so all of the activities that run in the factory, we call that kind of the execution layer, those just charge back at the market price, the listed price of whatever system you're using. So if the factory caused an hour of HD Insight usage and you had 4 nodes in that cluster, you'll see charged back 1 hour of a 4-node cluster of HD Insight. And so basically, all of the things we orchestrate or compose, we just charge back the costs of those processing systems at whatever they're already listed in Azure. There's no markup, et cetera. You can just say, hey, 1 hour of HD Insight, that's how much that would cost. And then in addition to the processing systems that we use, there's a cost for using Data Factory. And the cost is what we call the automation or coordination layer cost. And this one's the one that's very easy for you to compute based on the definition of your pipeline. It's kind of the layer you would have to do on your own to stitch these things together. And so this is how it works. Let me walk you through this table so you can orient yourself. What we do is we split up activities within the factory and call them either low frequency or high frequency. A high frequency activity is something that runs more often than daily. So hourly, every 10 minutes, whatever the cadence is that you want to run your thing on. A low frequency activity is something that runs daily, so you know every night at midnight or whatever, or less, like every week, every 2 days, etc. And so for high frequency activities, the cost of an activity per month within Azure, if it's doing processing in Azure, is a dollar. So in our particular pipeline that we just created that had our pig activity followed by a copy activity, the cost of that pipeline, because we were a low frequency pipeline, we were running daily, I think, would be 60 cents times two, so it'd be like $1.20 to run this pipeline month in, month out. And then the way the system works, you can see there's a couple of prices based on the volume of activities. So basically what happens is the more you use, the cheaper the system is basically the way it works. Once you get up to 100 activities in the system, the price goes down 20%. And so it's a graduated pricing model, but the price goes down, not up. So as you use more, price goes down. And then we split the cost between activities that are running in the cloud versus activities that are running on-prem. So if you're pushing and pulling from, in our particular case, from SQL Server, we call that an on-prem activity, and those charge back at a different rate. And so the nice thing is that as you're authoring your pipeline, you can definitively see what the cost of Data Factory is. Usually what we've found throughout all of our adopters up to this point is that you'll build out a pretty involved pipeline to drive the analytics for your business, and the cost of the Data Factory will be quite small relative to the cost of the processing and whatnot that you'll be using, and that's really our goal. Our goal is to make it very, very easy and very, very cost effective for you to coordinate and drive all of the processing across your Azure systems, across your on-prem systems, to get richer analytics results. And so the goal is to have this be a very approachable system from that perspective. This is how it goes up. So lastly, I know we have a few minutes to go. I thought I'd give you a quick summary of kind of what's available today in Data Factory. As we saw, there's a rich coordination system. You can do rich scheduling from minutes to hours to weeks to days. You can combine things on different schedules, and the system will help you with all that dependency management. You can incrementally rerun partitions to recover from bugs or failures or what it might be. We do a lot of recovery for you on your behalf in terms of retry policy, et cetera. As you saw, authoring today is declarative JSON documents with PowerShell and C#. Over time, you'll see us add some authoring tool support as well. But we've really focused on giving you nice visuals for manage and monitor. And then we'll move into authoring as we push our way through preview. From a management perspective, we're really focusing on letting you really understand the lineage of your data sets. As you start to kind of work across SaaS systems, on-prem systems, cloud systems, you'll see Data Factory expand to support all those classes so that you can really get a rich kind of map of how your data is moving and how it's being processed and easily facilitate the movement and processing from within Data Factory and get that kind of complete view, if you will, of how things are going on. And today, as I mentioned, we've started by really focusing on the Azure ecosystem and the Hadoop ecosystem. You'll see that expand and grow in the coming months as well. So with that, there's a lot of related content, especially around Hadoop, to help you kind of get up to speed with Hadoop, operationalize it with Data Factory. If you want to contact me to ask any questions, you're curious about something, have some comments or feedback, we're all ears about what you'd like to see, what your interpretation is of the product, what you think, what you think is missing, what you think is good. We'd love to hear from you from that perspective. We're in preview. While we are in preview, one thing I will note is we've had a number of customers running in production on top of Data Factory for quite a while now, both inside of Microsoft and outside of Microsoft. You'll notice a couple of case studies that went live into our blogs yesterday. We've got some of the world's biggest financial management firms. We've got some automation and manufacturing firms that are already using Data Factory in production today to drive their Hadoop processing. So the system is up, it's in preview, but it's been humming for a little while now. And I think if you're interested, go ahead, create a factory, kick the tires, give it a try, let us know what you think. bunch more resources, even more resources. And then finally, please submit your evaluation. We'd love to hear what you think of the product. I'd love to hear what you think of the session, what content you'd like to see added or changed. It just helps us to deliver a better session. So I'd really appreciate your thoughts and feedback on that. And then lastly, I'd just like to say thank you very much for your time, for coming to the event, listening to the product, you know, ultimately giving it a try and see what you think. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. If you have any questions, I think we have about 6 minutes or so to take them here. Feel free to just holler it out, or if there's mics, go up to the mic. I'll try and repeat the question. I'll also be around after if anybody wants to chat about the space. So thank you very much. I appreciate it.